You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all streaming services at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast, ClockRadioSpeakers.com. No longer powered by Tumblr, but all previous 300 some odd. We're approaching four, right?
We're getting there.
Yeah, so 300 plus episodes. I mean, you could double that when you count the way that we did sides and all that stuff. You can get those there. You can get those Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, everywhere you get podcasts except for you know where and you know why. And Doc is in the building. Holla at your boy.
What's going on, everybody? Y'all can follow me on Twitter or Instagram if you want, at @Doc_beats, S not a Z. I was trying to look up to see how many. Okay, so counting side, like if you count each individual sides, something like 566 like pieces of music, and that kind of pieces of audio, which isn't quite, which honestly, like if you go back, some of those old episodes are incredibly long. Yeah, and should be multiple sides.
Yo, if y'all were listening to us back then, God bless you and thank you.
Back then they didn't want me.
Are we hot? Are we cool? We all right.
Yeah, when did we start the side? We've been doing the sides for a while, but like, oh man, I don't want to know.
At least 2015.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for about halfway in is when we switched the sides.
Mm.
It's early on that wave too. You know, a couple of podcast trends that we kicked off.
Yeah, like it's all right. I just picked out a random episode. This is episode 124. We did a retro for Mobb Deep. It's one episode, but it's 2.5 hours long.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Red or green pill. You live and you learn. Live or you learn. Got but, my own label I earn. Like and, that said in Dead Presidents, money to burn. My and, bad. All right, I'm back.
In all those episodes and sides, that doesn't even count the exclusive stuff we've done for Patreon. If you are listening and you're a fan of the show. If you're a Patreon supporter, first of all, please know we appreciate y'all. Every week when we record, we do an exclusive pre-show. We get ready for the show, answer questions. We try to do exclusive things aside from that from time to time. If you're interested in that, you like the show, you want to show support, head over to collectoryspeakers.com. You'll see a link there, or go to patreon.com/CRS podcast. And yeah.
For sure.
How you doing, man? You good?
I'll let your boy. Yeah, I'm straight, man. Yeah. I'm good.
Ready.
How you doing?
Kids ready for end of summer?
Yeah, I bought all these back to school clothes and they can't wear them. I want my money back.
It's okay.
Yeah, dog. I got a middle schooler and I got a sophomore and I got a first grader. So, and I got a bun in the oven. So movement is moving.
Yeah, but man.
It's good.
Everything's good with the bun in the oven. Like mom and everybody's healthy. Yeah.
Everybody's healthy, man. Everybody's Excellent. Good, man. My wife already like eats crazy. Like her diet and the way that she takes care of herself is insane. And so, you know, no issues. No issues at all. She's just a little tired all the time, but
sure.
She's good.
You know, yeah, she's good. She's pregnant.
Life is developing in her body.
That's right.
So all things considered, she's doing all right.
Excellent, man.
Yeah, man. How are you?
I'm good. Weather's been not as hot. Trying to make it, man. Just trying to make it right now. It's weird. You know, normally, like, I'm looking forward to, like, I like to travel, so I'm always, like, planning some trip or doing whatever, but there's none of that going on. So it's just, like, trying to enjoy life for what it is, man.
Feel you. Chow to chow. That's how we got through basic training. Chow to chow. Seems like a lot, but you break it up, it helps out a ton. So, yeah, man, I feel it though. It's streets is crazy right now.
So we got a lot of random stuff to catch up on this week.
Yeah, I was hoping we got a week off, and the entire music industry was like, nah, man.
We gotta
I'm just going through Rap Radar, and I'm like, yo, like mad stuff happened.
Yeah,
like a lot of stuff. We're not gonna talk about all of it, but mad stuff happened. Yeah, man. What's good? Where do you want to start?
Let's follow up with something we talked about last week, which is Cardi B and Megan with Is it WAP? WAP? I don't know.
It's WAP. I know you said you didn't want to say it.
I feel kind of weird, but that's how everyone's saying it. So it's WAP. Yeah. You know, needless to say, some people that they there was a lot of hand wringing about the video, a lot of commentary, a little bit of controversy, which all it did was help it out.
Absolutely.
And that it did some numbers, man.
What did it do?
The most streams in a first week for a song ever.
Okay.
It's the first female rap collaboration to debut at number one.
Interesting.
It went platinum in 8 days as a single.
Wow.
So needless to say, Cardi B and Megan doing pretty good right now.
Yeah.
I think this is Cardi's fourth number one single.
Well, she was holding out, right?
She was holding out. Song is obviously a massive success. The video was wildly popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's a question of, okay, let's see what kind of legs it has. Let's see where it goes. I mean, I don't know what to say. You know, obviously this is the hit single. I mean, Cardi didn't really need a hit single. It was the hit single she was waiting for, I think.
Right.
Because now
that's what it was.
Because expectations with her are basically like, oh, it's not number one.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy, if you think about it in a sense, right?
Yes and no.
There's not that many artists we have that kind of expectations for, right?
Not right now, but she has to go through those peaks and valleys. You know what I'm saying? Like, first, you know, looking at Drake, like Drake is somebody who, I mean, everybody from Jay on down, anyone who's been wildly successful, everything they do is in like a smash. So, you know, I wonder if that has to do with, you know, just the way the industry is now, things moving in fast motion, you know, like Drake is allowed to have some hits and we'd be like, ah, does he still have it? And then he drops the, you know, the big hit.
Right.
I guess Cardi did that now because, you know, Press and some of the other records she did.
Press did okay. Press did nothing like this, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like I don't know if she was like, okay, I dropped two singles or three singles, however many it was.
Yeah.
And they ain't really hit the way that Bodak Yellow hit. Or
right.
I Like It hit. You know, I need something there.
Yeah.
It was about time for that. It was about time for another one of those. But yeah, the expectation is, it's still nuts. Because you can only go up from there. And like, what is up?
Right.
Yeah, what is up? What'd it do?
So yeah, I mean, you know. Good for them.
Yeah. Congratulations to them.
The interesting thing about watching the react, you know, we talked a little bit about this. I mean, actually, I think we talked more about how Megan Thee Stallion rapped than
we did. We clock with, yo, people asked us like, yo, so how did y'all talk about WAP? I was like, yeah. How'd you talk about it? Like, we're not going to talk about the sexuality. We mentioned it, but we're not going to talk about the over the top sexuality. Like, we're not talking about that. We nerded out. We rapidly rapped it out. That's what we do.
Here's the thing that really kind of hit me about the reaction to the song and to the video specifically, right? This is not like a revelatory. Other people have figured this out, but for me, it really hit home that, you know, we talked about this in the show. There have been raunchy hip hop songs before.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are people in this country, and I'll just get real specific and say, like, there are. It's just typically like a certain kind of white man who, like, they assume that everything should be for them. And if it's not for them, they have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't understand how something could not be for them.
Yeah.
And so when we had truly mass media, right, where you had gatekeepers controlling everything, like, there's a reason why, like, you know, MTV played. When they first started, they hardly played any black artists at all, right? Like right. So it took a while to break that down and everything else. But like, in this world of, you're not going through gatekeepers anymore in the same way. And so like, you've got a group of people who grew up in a world where like everything was always for them. And suddenly there's stuff out right now and they're like, well, I don't want that. Why should anybody have that?
Right.
You know, I think that's true with a lot of things that happen in society now, right? Where people are like, you know, you and I think we try to say on the show, we try to recognize I don't think we're always perfect at. We try to recognize, like, you know what, that's not made for me. But I think people struggle with that.
Yeah, there's a sense of entitlement. I think that's something we talked about last episode. It's like, yo, it's Cardi and Megan. Like, what did you expect? You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, I spoke on it, and I think some people saw that I spoke on it, and then the fact that I was a male speaking on it, and they immediately jumped out the window and was like, got defensive. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. My point is that, you know, I mean, both sides, like, this is just the country that we live in. It's just both sides are going to say their piece. And like, that's just going to happen. We could talk, we could try to police, you know, how people feel about the record, but ultimately people are going to feel both ways. They're going to feel the way that you just mentioned. And you know what? What are you going to do? Tell them to stop, not do it. Like, it's just, that's just not feasible. But you know, just as like, yeah, what else did you expect?
Well, even
what did you expect?
Even beyond that, like,
do you want a Dilla beat? did you want Common on the hook? Do you want them to do a remix to AI? Like, come on, man.
For me, it's not even the expect. It's more like, I don't know. It's like, you know what? Yeah, it was very sexually aggressive and suggestive. And it was two women rapping about what they were going to use sex for, which is like, as a country, we are not comfortable talking about sex almost ever.
And that's crazy because of the sexual nature of so much.
Well, but like
that exists in our country,
especially sexual topics that aren't from the male perspective.
Yeah. I talked to my wife about that. Yes.
Right. Like so much, like, you know, Marissa and I will be watching, if we watch a movie sometimes and there is some ridiculous over the top, like portrayal of like a sexed up woman in a stereotypical way or something like that, she'll just look over me and she'll just be like, a man wrote this, you know, a man wrote this. Like no woman would ever write a woman to be that way.
Right. Right. You can say, I say the same thing with wrestling. Like you see a black guy, like, okay, this is a middle-aged white man's portrayal of black people. This is a middle-aged white man's portrayal of how all of the women's storylines like revolve around jealousy. All of them.
Right. Because all of them. Right. Some men can't conceive of any other reason for women to be mad at another woman or to have a conflict with another woman. It must be about a man.
Right. Right. Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
It's goofy.
Did you say it's goofy?
Yeah, it's super goofy. It's goofy. It's wild goofy.
Speaking of goofy, this is going to be such a pivot. You don't even know where this is going.
I don't. What are you doing?
Your man, Chris Rock.
Yo, I didn't watch that video until after I posted it. And I was like, ooh, I shouldn't have posted this. Oh, well, what? Like, I'm stupid. That's my fault. Why wouldn't Chris Rock do that? What did Chris Rock do? I'm sorry.
Chris Rock posted what ostensibly is like a hype video for a new Busta Rhymes album called ELE 2. Mm-hmm. The sequel, like I didn't know we needed. Something.
Well, we'll talk about that because we have a Busta Rhymes rate the catalog in the tuck.
That's right. Just waiting for the right moment.
And now we have the right moment because we have an album coming out from Busta.
Right.
So
that's right.
There it is. But you know what? I'm not mad at it.
I'm not mad at a Busta album. He needs to go back to being like full on apocalyptic with it. You know?
I mean, but hold on. What's the subtitle of the album though? Hold on. It's called ELE 2. Oh, come on. You're going to find this before I do.
The Wrath of something. Hold up.
The Wrath of God.
The Wrath of God.
I mean, so if you want him to be apocalyptic, there you go.
I mean, considering what's going on in the world.
He's going to say, I told you. I was only 20 years off, but I told you. Okay. All right. All right, Buster. Buster Rhymes.
He's been talking about ELE 2 for a long time. I'm looking at a Rolling Stone article from 2014 about ELE 2.
There it is. There's only 5 years left. Oh, man. All right, sure.
ELE 2 was supposed to be like Thank You with Q-Tip and Calm Down with Eminem.
Oh, okay. Yep.
But, you know, things are a little different now. So
yeah, a little different. Yeah, right. So people might be a little open to that. It happens.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, are you excited about an ELE too?
You know what? I'm here for it. I'm curious.
As the youth say.
I don't think they say that anymore. Oh my God. Like, yo, yeah. I don't think they say that anymore.
Okay.
But I'm here for it. I'm here. I'm with it.
Yeah.
As long as there's not like, you know, we're going to talk about singles. I just don't need like a Busta Rhymes. I don't need a Busta Rhymes chasing the club single. You know, I don't need him rapping fast. Like, I don't need that.
Maybe a Drake stimulus package.
Oh, he ain't gonna get it now based off of us.
Well,
Swiss.
You know.
So how about you? You need it? You want it?
If he thinks that he's just gonna rap like fast the whole time, no. Because, you know, spoiler alert, one of the things when you listen to our eventual Rank the Catalog episode when it comes out, he didn't like, I don't like anybody under the age of like 25, probably definitely 20, maybe 25, they think of Busta Rhymes as the guy who raps fast.
Yeah.
He didn't always rap that way.
That's right.
And if he did, it wasn't always in the, I'm going to try to cram as many words in, you know, like trap beats don't do him a favor because they get that tempo where it encourages him to do that.
That's right.
He needs somebody who's going to keep him in a different tempo. And he's just got to realize, look, I'm going to, you know, I'm making music for a certain audience. He's not making it for the youths, and that's okay.
Correct. Correct.
There are more of us than there are of them.
Absolutely. Yes, that is correct.
Make music for your audience.
That's right.
Which is a lesson we might be saying about your man Nasir Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who has a new single with Hit-Boy called Ultra Black.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an album coming out on Friday.
Yeah.
We record this Tuesday night, August 18th. We got an album coming out on Friday.
Yeah.
I don't think it's entirely produced by Hit-Boy, right? Just executive produced by Hit-Boy?
I heard entirely produced.
Entirely produced.
That's what I heard. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Kind of gives me pause, but we'll see.
Nah, not really.
No?
Nah, it's Hit-Boy.
Yeah, I know. How do you feel about Ultra Black?
You know, I'm seeing him get a lot of like pushback, not just from the Doja Cat stuff, but just yeah. I don't know. I like the single. I think it's cool. I think it's solid. The last time we got a hit single or a first single from Nas, he was running around and round and round in a melody harmony with Al Jarreau.
Oh,
this is not that.
I forgot about Lost Tapes too.
Exactly. Lost Tapes 2 had a couple joints. Like literally a couple. But
did we talk about that on Rank the Catalog? No.
Yeah, we discarded it.
Yeah, pretty quickly. We also have a Rank the Catalog for Nas coming soon.
I think we put that out soon. Look at us ahead of the curve.
You know. It felt like the right time for Nas and Busta.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was gonna
ask you what you thought of Ultra Black.
I think the beat is fine, but I think Nas sounds energized.
Yeah, coming off of Nasir.
Yeah, Nasir, he didn't really sound... Because I went back and listened to it for the Ranked Catalog, and I was just, you know, there's some good beats on there, but he just... It's just... Most of those beats are just either not for Nas, or he just didn't... He wasn't feeling it, or he wasn't in the zone. I don't know, but he sounds way more energized on Ultra Black.
He needed another month.
Yeah.
That's it. He just needed another month with those beats. That's it.
But it's an interesting choice for a lead single because, like, is that meant to... Please tell me that's not meant to be like, oh, this is the best song.
Nah, I think this was the, hey, guys, I'm coming out.
I mean, I hope so.
I think that was it. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't know if it was tone deaf putting that single out because it got overshadowed by all the Doja Cat stuff, which was super trash.
Nas has to be... I mean, I don't... Do you think he knows how careful he has to be?
I mean, not even careful. I just, because it's weird. Like everything that Doja Cat got killed for, you know, a few months ago, it's like, okay, well we can say it, but you can't say it. Like it was just weird. Like, but it only came from, you know, it only came from like her stands, really. That's really, really where it came from. And it's like, at this point you see how the barbs move.
Right.
Who else has like really problematic fans? Eminem fans. I hate the word problematic, just corny and stupid and unnecessary. Cause you know, you think about it like, yo, you go to the grocery store and like you're grocery shopping with these people who are like madly obsessed with these people. And they just will never show their face.
Man, I think about people who are like QAnon believers and they're like, they're like next to you in the store. And I'm just like, I don't even understand that, man. I think about that all the time now.
People are around. That should that should be Armand and Doc. Somebody asked me for Armand and Doc too, and I'm like, really? Already?
Listen, I'm working.
Yeah, you are working. Yeah, I played a room full of people that won.
Okay.
And the room like perked up. So, yep. Things are, the movement is moving.
Moving is moving.
Yeah. So Ultra Black.
Does Nas need a single?
Yes. Yeah. Nas needs a single. Yes.
So I'm looking at this track list. The album's called King's Disease.
Yeah.
Interesting title.
Kind of like the title. It's kind of dope. Interesting.
All I'm saying is he's playing with my emotions because there's a song called Full Circle with The Firm on it.
And it's funny. I saw someone post that Foxy Brown posted the Nas teaser. So shout out to my boy Nas before the track list came out.
Yeah.
And people were saying, yeah, there's gonna be a Firm out. There's gonna be a Firm record. I'm here for it. And that sounds like something Hit-Boy would like, you know, campaign for.
I'm just gonna be mad.
A Firm record.
I'm gonna be mad if he samples Affirmative Action because I've been sitting on an Affirmative Action sampled beat for a while now.
No, I want something. No, and don't do that. That's cheap. I don't want Affirmative Action 2. Like, yeah, if I get Affirmative Action 2, like, yeah, have somebody else do it and keep Nas, Foxy, and AZ far away from it.
Right.
No, I want a new Firm record. Give me a new Firm record.
New Firm.
I would love to hear Foxy in 2020.
I want to hear Cormega punch in.
You just heard him punching. He was on the Conway album.
I need him rapping so aggressively he can punch in per bar as far as I care.
You know, I wish Nature was on the record.
Yeah, he got kicked out of the group chat, huh?
I guess so. He moved to Marcy. Nature moved to Marcy. Nothing else to say, man. Nature moved to Marcy.
Interesting track list.
Yeah, very interesting. Yes.
Big Sean and Don Toliver.
Yo, my daughter made me hate Don Toliver.
I like Don Toliver. You don't like him?
He just sounds like he's gargling all the time. He sounds like he's gargling and he's falling. I can't do it. And my barber listens to him all the time. Every time I go get a haircut, he's blasting Don Toliver. Like, dog, okay, I get it. You pulled up at the after party. I got it. And a lot of his songs sound the same.
He ends up
falling into that cadence.
He's great on Can't Say. Can't Say is fantastic.
Is that on Astroworld?
That's Astroworld, yeah.
Okay.
That's a great song, but that's very clearly a Don Toliver record that Travis was like, nope, I'm taking that.
Astro.
And so now Don Toliver's he's gotta find that big single of his own.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always on stuff. Like I see like stuff with him floating around all the time now.
Oh yeah, there's Don Toliver records. He just seems like he's one of those people. He's in the studio all the time, just cutting records, and they sell them to other artists.
For sure,
I can see that.
For sure,
it's kind of how like rapper singers get in the door anyway. Like I'm sure Roddy Ricch was doing that.
Oh yeah,
Bruno Mars was doing that. Weeknd was doing that. Like oh man, but Weeknd had a whole stimulus package. But yeah, man.
But we got a Charlie Wilson feature.
That's funny.
We got a Lil Durk. It's interesting. It's a big week for Lil Durk.
Man, these Chicago artists scare the crap out of me. I'm so worried about them. That scene is just it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Insane. So
I'm completely terrified of this Brucey B record though.
Brucey B is the DJ, right?
That's right. But
that just means he samples some 80s record.
That's why I'm terrified. Nas has a terrible track record with this.
Some of them I like. Like I love something you forgot. That's Wayne. You wouldn't understand. You know, you hate Reach Out though, right?
We talk about all this on the upcoming Nas Rank the Catalog episode.
We do.
So you know, interesting track list from Nas. Kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for it.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
Okay.
You know, Nas should be doing this. But, you know, it does kind of reek of like, you know, how do you do youths? Like, it does a little bit, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. If Nas just does Nas, you know, he'll be fine. If people just kind of work around him, if people are paying homage to him. So if Lil Durk gets on the record and is like, yo, I'm on a Nas record, so let me step it up. I'm cool with that.
It's a trap beat with an Illmatic sample.
Listen, that might work.
It might
work. Throw some trap drums on halftime.
That's interesting. damn it. Go to my to-do list.
Duh, we need a whole... There's another sample. There's another sample I need you to flip in the exact same. We could do a whole project in that same way.
I mean, I've done a lot of beats like that over the past year, I feel like. Because it comes from the show.
Yeah, it does. I'm gonna send you a text. But continue. Speaking of Lil Durk.
Yeah. Oh, you want to go there?
We could go there. We could go... since we were talking about Don Toliver, we could talk about Travis. Wherever you want to go.
I was going to say, since we're talking about Nas, have you heard about the Nas Nicki Minaj record that has caused Nicki to get sued by Tracy Chapman? You heard about this?
Yeah, we talked about that on the show.
We did?
Yeah.
When?
When it happened.
Really?
Yeah, because it leaked, right?
Yeah, it leaked. Okay. Man, I was already...
It's called Sorry.
Yeah, right? No, we talked about the record, but like that Tracy Chapman is suing Nicki for playing out on Hot 97.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Man, I had the segue ready and everything. So let's talk about Travis.
Hey, baby. Even though you break my heart.
Okay, they sped the tempo up. It's you two. My bad, y'all. But Nicki Minaj and Nas, I'm sorry.
It's okay. So speaking of Travis. Yeah. He's in the cover of GQ this month.
Okay, good for him.
He announced he's got a project in the works with Kid Cudi.
Good for them.
I'm sure you're gonna be ready Euphoria? For that. What's that?
Is that Euphoria?
The name of the song was
It's like the Scots, right?
Yeah, the Scots, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that Travis had announced like a month ago that he had an album called Euphoria or something like that he was gonna put out. But it seems like they're putting more attention on this Cudi album.
Yeah, no. Don Toliver had a song with Travis called Euphoria.
Okay, maybe I was thinking about something else. Okay.
See, there it is, Don Toliver. But
there it is.
But yeah, so you know, he in GQ he's talking about, you know, the project with Kid Cudi, and you know, he's playing some unreleased music and all this other stuff, whatever. But then what also happened this week is the internet heard some demos of Your Man. Speaking of, we talked on the. On the pre-show for Patreon subscribers, somebody asked about Ghost Riders. Sigh the Prince rapping some Astroworld bars.
Yeah.
Including Sicko Mode.
Yeah. Why are we shocked? No. Okay, let me get my bag. Hold on. Let me stretch out a little bit.
Get hyped.
I might gotta take my shirt off for this one.
Go in.
Go. You know, we talk about, we said this on the show at length, like, yo, making a hit like that takes a real level of skill and talent. And it's not something that, you know, anybody, it's not just ABC 123 cat bat hat. Like it really takes a level of talent and skill to write a hit record. Number one. Number two, Sci-Hi was credited, so this doesn't make him a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Because, hey guys, like, a ghostwriter is not credited. It's a ghost. Like, you don't see them. That's the whole point of it being called a ghostwriter. He was credited on Sicko Mode, number two. Side note, I just think it's interesting that Sci-Hi writes on the Kanye diss record. Just thought that was interesting. And then I saw that an article resurfaced from Sci-Hi in 2018. To be exact, August 20th, 2018, where Complex interviewed Sci-Hi And this is right after, you know, the Pusha album, the Nas album, Ye, Teyana Taylor, like he did that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And they straight up talk about it. Let me pull up exactly what Sahai says. Give me 1 second. He says, and he laid it down just so easy. He said, once you put out a rap album and you're getting 50, 60, 100 grand a show and you're this household name, the only next level is to go compete with Adele and Sam Smith and whatever gospel choir or alternative rock group that is up for Album of the Year. These guys aren't in there by themselves. It's 30 or 40 people. You've got trumpet players, lyricists, writers. So that's the same thing for rappers. You don't just want to be in there with you, an engineer, and a bag of weed if you're really going for those Grammy spots. It's hard to outthink 10 people that's in an Adele session or any of the major artists. We're starting to treat rap like that. It has to be super important. But knowing what minds to put in the room is what makes you a great producer. Instead of having your homeboys from the crib that's just in there smoking weed, chilling, playing video games, you'd rather put up a flight for a guy like me that's going to make sure it sounds dope. So Sahai has all this experience writing a lot of Kanye records. And Sahai's a rappity rap dude. And you notice that a lot of like great ghostwriters just happen to be rappity rap dudes. Infamously, the most famous ghostwriter is a guy named Mad Skills, who, you know, is like a rappity rap purist. And I think what happens is like people will hear these songs and hear how simple those flows are. And, you know, Travis Scott is not doing like lyrical acrobatics. And so the average person, the average rapper says, oh, yeah, that's easy. I could do that. But it's not. It still takes a level of skill. And I'm not surprised that like these rappity rap guys do it. You know, I think what happens is you have to look at rappers, especially when they get to this upper echelon. You have to start looking at them like a business. And so I always use this example. Chase is a building, but there are people within the building of Chase that make the bank function. So when they do work, it is on behalf of Chase. It's not on behalf of the employee who works for Chase. And when you're Travis Scott and you're traveling all over the world and you're touring and you're doing X, Y, and Z, like you don't have all the time in the world to be creative. So there are other people who come in and, you know, help you to be creative. They write for you. They help you with flows and patterns. And like that happens all the time. And I think what happens is we have like we have this thing with music because music is so near and dear to so many of us. We're like, oh, it has to be from the heart. It's, you know, like people care about the art of it. And those are the people who get jerked on the business side.
Yeah.
Because they're prioritizing the art, but it's the music business. Both things exist. And if you get into the music business, the main objective of business is to make money. And you're using music to make money. So you get the people who know how to create the product that makes the most money for the business. And that's it. So am I surprised that Travis Scott has a ghostwriter? No. Am I surprised that it's Sahai? No, I'm not. Sahai, Kanye, Travis? No, not at all. Good for Sahai. Good for Travis. Like it clearly works for them because they got nominated for a freaking Grammy.
I was just looking up Skills' song Ghostwriter. Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
He's only performed. So Ruckus censored the names.
Mm-hmm.
He's only performed the first verse uncensored once, apparently.
Yeah, it was live somewhere.
Yeah,
there was a recording of it.
I mean, Genius has all the names for the first verse anyway. Puff, Foxy, Mace, Jermaine Dupri, you know.
Shocked. But those are people that they would say, oh yeah, of course they have ghostwriters. Like you're gonna feel away if Nas has a ghostwriter. You're gonna feel away. That's why people felt away that Drake had a ghostwriter. You're gonna feel away if Jay-Z has a ghostwriter. Like you're gonna feel away if Kendrick or J. Cole or any of these like super hippity hop, rappity rap, lyrical acrobat dudes have ghostwriters. And guess what? If it comes out that any of those guys have ghostwriters, don't be surprised. And I would say at this point, don't charge it to their career. Like that's modern business practice. Like you don't get that. That's how you get in the game. Cole wrote records for Puff. Kendrick was writing records for people. Drake was writing records for people. That's how you get in. And so when you get in, there's definitely young guys who come in and start writing records for you.
Yeah.
Like it's just how it works. Like stop putting all this like emotion into it, man. Like it's just, and when you get to that level, like that doesn't exist. Not like it does on a lower, like more indie. If you're just doing it in your room or you're just doing it for your people, you're doing it on a small scale. Yeah, you can do it for the love and for the art. But you can't, that's your conviction. That's not theirs. You know what I'm saying? The problem is when they begin to sell that stuff that way. Because then it's like, no, I put my heart into it. And maybe they did. They just had people help them put their heart into it. But, you know, if you're going to credit them, like, say that. We got the best writers in the world. We locked in and we created an album. It still represented me. You can do that. Like, that's possible. Especially if you get, like, friends and people who know you or people who know how to tap into you. Like, yeah, man, you spoke for me. I would have said that, but I wouldn't have said it in that way. Like, thank you for doing that because you did it better than I could have. Like, come on, man. What are we doing?
Also, I mean, just to echo, like, again, if it's in the credits, it's now ghostwriting. And really, like, if you're listening to this show, hopefully that means you're a pretty big hip hop fan, typically. So really, like, the credits are, like, it's why I keep Wikipedia up when I have the show going half the time. Because Wiki's got credits for almost every album.
Mm-hmm.
They show who wrote on what. You know, when Drake had the little ghostwriting thing, like those credits were on if you're reading the whole time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Where it's really ghostwriting is when it's like, no, you don't even know I was here.
Correct.
Right. But like, you know, size, I mean, part of the problem is like some of these records have like so many producers, and then if they got a sample on it as well, you're looking at like just this ridiculous like list of names, you know what I mean? But
right.
But you can, you know, you can go look and you can like you can put it together if you want to as a fan, for sure.
Yep.
Big
facts.
You think this That's hurts you think this hurts Travis in any way?
No. No. Especially, I mean, nobody was calling, you know, Travis Lyrical Miracle anyway.
Right.
So nah, man.
What if we find out that he got the It's Lit ad lib from somebody else? Might do him in.
Do him in. I mean, Travis has had some pretty harsh accusations thrown his way, and they've gone largely unchecked and swept under the rug. So
yeah, he's really, yeah. People used to hate Travis.
Man. I mean, I saw he was getting accused of like rape and, you know, stealing stuff from other artists. I mean, that happens from everybody. Like that's culture too. Yeah, man, it's crazy. Whatever. I don't care. Good for Travis. Good for Sky or Sky. Why do I keep calling him Sky High? Sky High. Jesus. Sky High. That's something old people will call. What's his name? Sky High the Prince.
Why does he gotta be the prince?
That's his name. He's a prince.
So yeah, boy, I mean,
oh money.
You think we got Travis album this year?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if he's saying they're working on a Cudi album, they keep mentioning this Cudi album, so I'm assuming that they're gonna go with that first before they do the solo, Travis.
Yeah. Yeah.
But man, good for them.
Good for Travis.
Yeah.
Do we need to give a Kanye update?
As far as what?
He
was eating Chick-fil-A with Steve Harvey today.
he wants Jesus talk.
I did see that. Yeah, that's like, you know, I keep telling people, hey, when you first get saved, like those are things that you say. Those are things that you do. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, all right, it's just part of it. Don't pay him no mind. He won't feel that way in another 5 years. Or that idea will evolve into something else. But yeah, of course he's going to say, oh man, I want Jesus talk. Yeah, that's what you do. As you do, as you and the first lady say.
And, you know, he's still running for president.
yeah, he did say that about Kamala. That was funny.
Well, not even that, but also it's interesting because like he's not eligible to run in enough states to win.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still running.
Still running.
he's basically admitted he's running as a spoiler candidate.
Yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry. That's crazy.
I mean, he doesn't want Biden to win.
Jump off.
So, you know, he's you want to talk about thinking so little of your audience, of voters in your audience. Like, who's the demographic for, you know, I like conservative policies, but I think Kanye could do a better job than Trump. I don't even understand the logic that goes towards, yeah, let's get Kanye on the ballot. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's like, who are the youths into? Not I know, Kanye. I don't know if, you know, some of those, you know, Kanye being in a room with some of those evangelicals leads to that, you know, that recommendation. I don't know. Maybe.
They'll never get in trouble for it because I feel like nothing matters anymore. But it's interesting because there's been, you know, some communication between the Trump campaign and, for lack of a better term, the Kanye campaign. Mm-hmm. There's been like Republican operatives who are like being paid to like go help get him on the ballot, which feels really weird, like for a supposed like person who's actually running for president and not just trying to like muddle the water. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he knows and doesn't care? Or do you think he doesn't know that a lot of these people are just trying to play him?
You know, I don't know.
That they're trying to, they're trying to take advantage of him, basically. Not to say he's fully innocent, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's all be honest. Do we think Trump thinks of Kanye as anything more than his token black friend? This is Trump.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't. 2020 is,
my God. I don't know anything anymore.
We ever expecting this Kanye album?
Eventually, but
I see he brought Sunday Service back.
I did see that. Good for him. It was a socially distanced Sunday Service,
right?
That's right. Okay, because it was the camera angle that Kim had. People, it looked like they were, you know, conjured up together. But good for them. Yeah, whenever they do it, whenever Kanye gets around to it, like I'm not beating down the block for a Kanye West album right now.
Yeah.
Like whenever we get it, we'll get it. Hey, a Nas album produced by Hit-Boy. Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
You know, I was thinking like, yo, when is Jay due?
I mean, he's, well, what, when was 444?
2017, I want to say.
And then the Carters was
18.
I mean, he's due if he wants to be, but he's kind of at that point in his career where let me ask you this as the 444 fan of this podcast. What's the hook for a Jay project at this point?
Right. I agree.
Right. It's not the we're past the reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
We've done the team up.
The team up. Yeah.
You know, Captain Planet, got their powers combined, you know. But like, yeah, like what's the, cause you know, if it's Jay, there's no low budget Jay-Z project. That's not his style. That would be a weird, interesting move for him. But like, so like, what's the story that he can tell, or like, what's the reason for doing it? Is he bored? Does he have, you know, does he want to explore some new sound? Like, I just don't know what it would be for him at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
Cause like, I'm trying to think. Cause what was for Magna Carta Holy Grail? What was the hook for that? Was it just, I want to make another album?
Wait, what was that?
For Magna Carta, what was the hook for that? Was it just,
Samsung. I bought a phone. I have an app.
Right.
Yeah. It was around Samsung and the app and all that. I went platinum in a minute.
Platinum before I was out.
What's funny is the album leaked before the app came out.
Well,
I don't know if you remember that. You know, just back when the streets still had it. Different type of lock.
Yeah.
That the streets had.
What would you want to hear from Jay-Z?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. I would like to see him going with a guy, you know, like I'm a B-sides guy. So I just want to hear him rap.
Yeah.
Get on some, you know, tempos from 83 to like 94, 95, just rap. I don't know. He's going to give us like hey, I did this, or, you know, this thing that you guys thought I did wrong, I actually did it right. Like, he's going to give us those bars, but, you know, whatever.
I'm trying to think, like, what? I don't know. I mean, if anything, he could try to chart a course for what it looks like for a rapper in his 50s to make, like, a big deal rap album. We have no precedent for that.
Yeah.
That's the ground you could be trying to break.
Yeah. True.
And hey, he was rapping on that Jay Electronica project.
Yes, he was. Yeah, you could count that, huh?
But again, that was the hook, right? The hook was gotta get this Jay Electronica. That was earlier this year, right? Is that true?
Was it?
Oh my god.
Thought it was late last year.
Hold on.
Written testimony. When
did it was released in March.
Wow. March. Like right as things were shutting down.
Yeah.
Timing was terrible.
That album only came out 5 months ago.
That's crazy. That feels like a year ago.
At least.
That's insane.
Wow.
We are here.
We're in the building.
We're in the building.
Other people who are here in the building and releasing new music. Your man, Aubrey Graham.
Seems like he just put out something, didn't he?
He put out those Khaled projects.
The Khaled records, he did
The Khaled record didn't even have real videos, you know? That's how you could tell that they weren't taking that too seriously.
I guess they've hit radio pretty decent from what I hear.
Yeah, you know.
He put out another one of those Mandem freestyles.
Yeah.
Mandem. Uh-huh. So yeah, sure.
But you know, this is a different kind of Drake release than those releases. This is a big budget Drake single.
Mm-hmm.
With a video that thankfully doesn't see him dancing around a mansion.
Yeah.
We're talking about Laugh Now, Cry Later, which is the first single from the album. Currently is titled Certified Lover Boy.
Listen, let me tell you something.
That's an amazing title.
If that's the name of the album, we're not reviewing it.
Not only are we reviewing it, but I'm here to tell you right now, the tour will be called like the Lover Boy Tour or something.
100%.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the European tour, wasn't it? I feel like one of his European tours was called like the Lover Boy Tour. I promise it was.
You're not a fan of the title Certified Lover Boy?
Why I gotta be certified?
I love that. That's the problem you have with it. Could it be could the streets be certifying that he's a lover? Like,
streets always certify. They'll always certify. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. But at this point, whatever.
Can we call it CLB? Just by the acronym?
CLB's fine.
Okay. So Armand, we've got a single. We've got the video. How do you feel about Laugh Now, Cry Later?
It's weird. Like it feels like a record that would hit. You know, this is how I know. Like, I listen to way too much Clock Radio Speakers because I hear songs. Telling my wife about this, I hear songs and I'm like, yeah, that would work for people. Before, like, you know what? I would actually like this. Like it feels like a mix of God's Plan and Trophies.
Yeah.
The video is really interesting. You know, anytime someone's just not standing in front of like a dilapidated building rapping, like the video's gonna be interesting. And, you know, Dirk does his thing. Dirk does his thing. And yeah.
You know, he just wants to put Drake in a room full of Drakes.
That's kind of a clever line. That was a little, eh?
Yeah. Took you, yeah. You gotta, you know. To me, here's the thing about Drake. When it works is when he's having fun and when he shows personality in videos. Mm-hmm. When it doesn't always quite work is when he takes himself too seriously. And so this is the Drake formula, right? He's poking fun at himself. He's having fun. He's being self-aware. And it's like the ad lib that he uses on the hook here where he does the baby, like it could be ridiculous and it is a little ridiculous. But he totally leans into it. Everybody in the video leans into it. So it becomes like a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly like how you do it. to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the song is catchy. I think it totally works. The video is basically a giant advertisement for Nike.
It's definitely a Nike video. Yeah, for sure.
Which is, I think, very smart. Like, you know, have Nike pay for it. I mean, he's on the payroll. What's the, you know what I mean?
Minus whale.
Might as well.
Minus whale. Yeah.
But no, I think this works. I think right now there's a lot of there's a lot of oxygen being taken up by Cardi and Megan's single. So I don't know if this will go number one immediately or whatever. But this feels like an actual, like, proper Drake single to me.
Mm.
Like, this doesn't feel, man, I really like Toosie Slide.
It's not it. Wasn't it.
You know, yeah, I don't know right if this up. Is it, but this could be it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's been in my, those muted horns have been in my head. You know, he's throwing some shots at Kanye, as always.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
What'd he say?
There's all sorts of little lines in here. He's got a gap line in here. He's got all sorts of little things in here.
It's interesting. So I wonder, is he taking like the 50 Cent Ja Rule approach? Which is like any chance he gets, he's just gonna dig. Mostly because Kanye kind of like showed his hand and, you know, it's clear that it bothers him.
Sure. Well, you know, he certainly isn't going to respond to Pusha ever again.
Right.
But he can always respond to Kanye.
Right. Yeah.
So we were talking about summer singles on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a summer record.
I would say this is more of like an early fall. I think this is perfect. It's more of an early fall record. Like this, the horns remind me of like HBCUs. Like this feels like a college, like college football. Like it feels like that, which, you know, unfortunately, right?
What's college football? No, I'm just
right.
Oh, man. You know, I think, you know, we just maybe colleges can try to figure out how to do bubbles. Because the NHL and the NBA have got it figured out right now.
Okay, so the NHL's doing well too.
Yeah, I've been watching playoff hockey because this weekend, you know, there was the Grizzlies playing game on Saturday. But then after that, there was like no other sports on this weekend. And it rained on Sunday. So I was just like, well, I guess I'm watching playoff hockey. They have two bubbles, Eastern Conference, Western Conference, which is interesting. But yeah, like maybe football might be hard, but like for college basketball, like if a lot of these schools are going to end up doing remote classes anyway,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't the Big East or whatever basketball conference, why couldn't they do a bubble? Just do it at a college that's got most of its student remote anyway. You're going to have a place to play. You're going to have facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really think about this with college sports, but like, how many classes must like a college basketball player miss in a typical like spring semester? You know, because they got to travel to games and do all this stuff, right?
Right.
Whereas if you did in a bubble, well, they just take the classes remotely, like everybody else.
Yeah.
They could literally never have to miss a class.
True.
Because you know, college football is coming real fast. For college basketball, it's one thing if they miss a couple games here, there, or whatever, but like, they make a lot of money from that tournament, man.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
You got to think that they want to do whatever they can to get some kind of NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think that we've seen like the full scale of how all of this is impacted.
Oh, no.
Like economically, like it's.
Well, and we haven't quite seen yet. I mean, it's starting, like colleges are starting to go back, but it's still early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the colleges that are starting to cancel are the ones that tried to start early to give themselves like some quarantine time. So it's not looking amazing just yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, duh.
Crazy. But yeah, anyway, sorry. So sounds like you think the single for Drake is cool, but maybe not amazing. Fair to say?
Yeah, it's cool. It's okay. It's okay. I don't hate it.
So we need to now get you to sort of weigh in, get your model ministry hat on. So from the fit perspective, how's Aubrey doing with the Nike gear?
Oh, Aubrey's a terrible dresser. Aubrey Drake has terrible style.
How'd you feel about that pink Nike jacket he's got?
You know, I don't remember it. I'm not gonna hold you.
It's got like quilted hearts on it. I saw that and I was like, oh, he's gonna have exclusive Nike gear for this album.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Like they have to re-up now because of the Adidas deal falling through.
Mm.
Like they're gonna like, hey, thank you for sticking with us. You know, because, you know, a lot of the OVO, first of all, they haven't done an OVO collab in a while. And number two, those OVO collabs were really underwhelming.
Yeah.
They did the 12, they did the 10, they did an 8, and that was it. And Drake has like a couple of 11s and like trash. Like they weren't, not that they were trash, like they were just really boring. Whereas someone like Travis Scott has done amazing collaborations with Jordan. Like he's pretty much... he's not perfect from the field, but he's up there. His shooting percentage is really high. Like he's done really well. So I'm sure, you know, Drake is looking at Travis and saying, well, yo, I want that treatment. Like, how come you guys didn't do that for me? And it might be because, you know, Travis and they have a different aesthetic and a different style. And, you know, it seems like Drake and them were so married to the white, black and gold. It's like, no, yeah. Use those Raptor colors, like use other parts of Toronto. Like you can go outside of that white, black and gold, man. Just Jesus.
I feel like he should maybe leave the Jordans alone.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be a thing too.
Like he could do a whole interesting, like, I don't know. I feel like he could do a whole interesting run of things with like Air Maxes or something. Like he could do something.
Yeah. He could do a whole bunch of stuff. Absolutely. Like there are definitely shoes that, Nike silhouettes that don't get touched and would 100% work.
Right.
Yeah, Air Max. I mean, God, he could do Air Max 1s. He could do Air Max 90s. He could do 98s. He could do 95s.
That feels like a very Drake shoe.
What shoe was the Eminem shoe? Air Max 90s?
90s, I think.
I think M wore Air Max 90s all the time, like all white ones. They're terrible.
I used to wear Air Max 90s.
Well, they were
college.
Terrible. Like, no. Air Max 90s on their own are dope. It was just whenever Eminem would wear them, it would just look really weird and awkward. Yeah, he could go in an Air Max bag. He could do something new. He could do like a Vapor Max.
Oh, man, you're right. These Eminem Air Max 90s are awful.
Exactly. Exactly. It all comes down to style. If you don't have any like style, yeah, you're not going to know how to like style stuff. Like, hire somebody. I mean, but then again, I mean, like Drake's house is really tacky too. So like, that's just his aesthetic. That's what happens with like his aesthetic is I have a lot of money. That's his aesthetic. And for some people, like that's the fashion. They become the brand whores. It's like the giant Supreme logo on the front with the Fear of God on the sides and the Nike check on the road. Like, it's just a lot. Like, you just look like a billboard. What are you doing? So I don't know, dog. I don't need it. No, thanks.
You good?
Yeah, I'm straight.
So Drake album soon?
I said October.
Yeah.
Might even be earlier than that, but I feel like October's very own. We may get another single. How'd you feel about Dirk on the record? Did we talk about that?
I thought Dirk was fine. The first couple times I was like, nah, but I think it's okay. What kind of threw me the more I listened to the song? It's got an unusual song, an unusual structure. Did you notice that?
How so?
It's not straight up like 4-bar loop for the beat, always. They throw in an extra bar or two occasionally.
Mm.
And so Drake does these little like 2-bar or 1 or 2-bar like pre-verses or pre-choruses to like make it work. But it's next time you listen to the song, listen for it and you'll hear like the normal like horn loop. And then sometimes they bring in like a 1-bar extension. It's interesting. It's pretty rare for rap songs to do that.
Oh, that is what we get paid the big bucks for.
I mean,
where else are you going to get that?
I mean, I haven't heard anybody talk about it. The last song I can think of that did that, it was very famously Hovey Baby, right?
Hovey Baby, yeah.
But yeah, go listen to the song again and you'll hear like them add like an extra bar in, and you're like, huh, okay. It's basically like an extra it's like an extended horn breakdown, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. What were we talking about before? Sorry, I got sidetracked. Dirk. Yeah, I mean, I think Dirk's fine.
I feel like the low bar for like people on Drake records is what? Probably Cardi, right? Like people seem to really hate that night. What was it, 1993? Is that what it was called?
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was a thing. I want to go back and listen to that. What was it, Dark Lane demo tapes or something?
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that. Wonder how that aged. It's a different, that was a different quarantine time.
Was that pre-quarantine?
Nah, that was full swing quarantine.
Oh, right.
That was like, Drake was like, yeah, everybody's in the house. They're all going to listen to me. And they were like, and people were like, no, we're not. No, we're not.
You just want to hear, what's his name, sing the hook to Chicago Freestyle.
Who? No, I don't.
Givian or whatever his name is, because he sounds like Sampha.
Oh, God. No. Please, no. No. God, no. Help.
Yeah,
no.
I'm looking at this track list and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, there's just a whole lot of,
I don't remember any of it.
I vaguely remember D4L liking that.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he really tried with that When to Say When. That was just a Drake swing and a miss right there.
Yeah, man.
But yeah. So Drake album coming soon. I'll be interesting to see what kind of legs this single has. Because I think in general, I think people like it and they like the video. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, people don't like a Drake song, they'll tell you. And if they don't like it, they won't say anything. Or if they do like it, they won't say anything.
Right.
I'm with it.
So, you know, when people like Drake, I think that it's promising for it, right? I mean, that sounds stupid to say, but like he's really the kind of artist who thrives on being like kind of a little bit of a fan favorite. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's it for Drake. I think, is there anything else we need to talk about this week?
Oh, shoot. Are we done?
We might be done already.
I think so. We briefly touched, we can end with this. We briefly touched on this with our Patreon listeners, but, how do you feel about the NBA bubble?
I mean, it seems like they've been able to really like make it work from a health standpoint. Although the announcement that they're going to let in like close personal friends or whatever they said is funny.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah.
It's like, okay. Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
Close personal friends, huh?
Yeah, that's what
they were
going.
Like, and it can't be somebody that you just know off of social media. And I was like, wow, they're really trying to like write into the bylaws. It can't be someone who you slid into their DMs. You know,
but how are they able to tell that?
I know. It's kind of amazing that there hasn't been like more reports about people like sneaking stuff in or whatever. Once the family start coming in, it'll be interesting to see like, you know, can they still handle the testing and all that stuff? But so far, from a public health standpoint, they've handled it incredibly well. The quality of the games. I mean, it's just so much offense. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's been great.
Some of these games have been super entertaining. I mean, that
Yep.
Did you watch the plan game on Saturday?
Oh yeah, of course I did.
That was fun, man. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great game. Dame's been playing out of his mind. I didn't see any of the Indiana games where what's the kid's name? TJ Warren or something.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen him play. See, Luka's been playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
You know, I still don't know. Dallas has been playing really well, but like I didn't see what happened, but you know, apparently like Porzingis just got unnecessarily ejected.
Yeah.
And like I feel like that was it. Like that was it. Like they, if they had a shot, they're not going to get it now. Cause that's going to like, now the Clippers are like, they woke up.
Right. Right.
And I don't know if anybody's going to beat the Clippers four times.
You see the Bucks lost today to Orlando.
I did see that to Orlando. they'll get one.
Yeah.
They'll get one. I'm not worried about that. I don't think anybody in the East is beating Toronto.
Oh really?
No.
You take Toronto over the Bucks?
Yeah. Yeah. Toronto was playing really, really well. They're more well-rounded than the Bucks. The Bucks still have Giannis and Chris Middleton and like a couple shooters. Like that's not enough for Toronto. Toronto's been playing really, really well. Like that's hard to beat. The Clippers are going to have a hard time. The Clippers can beat them four times, but depending on what happens, like Toronto could give them a series. I feel like.
How do you feel like
the Lakers at the end of the day, well, at the end of the day, the Clippers don't have anybody on their team who can stand in front of Anthony Davis or LeBron James, but they have a lot of people who can stand in front of the rest of the people on the Clippers team. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm curious to know what they do in this Blazers series. I know what they should do. They should play inside because people are talking about Nurkic and, you know, how well he's playing and he's going to give Anthony Davis problems.
Nah.
But not only do you have Anthony Davis, you have JaVale McGee and you have Dwight Howard. Just rotate them out.
And frankly,
because they're not, Nurkic is not always going to play that whole time.
You have LeBron.
Even LeBron.
Who?
But then they've got a, but
who's guarding LeBron on that roster?
Exactly. Because people are going to say, because if LeBron runs the point, then who's going to guard him? Dame? He should post up Dame all day, but he's going to settle for fadeaway jumpers.
Which is why what he really should do is he should like everyone's saying, just give the ball to Davis.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nobody on Portland who can handle Davis.
Conversely,
I don't know. I mean, has Rondo cleared quarantine?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about him.
He's coming back. I don't know if he'll be ready in time for game one, which is in like minutes or whatever. But I mean, who's guarding Dame? I mean, should be a lot of offense. Should be fun.
So yeah, let Dame get his numbers. Dame is gonna get his numbers. You know, CJ is still somebody to worry about. Melo accepting his role has been playing really well. You know, but still, like, not. It might go five or six games, but they're not beating LA.
I mean, it could be dangerous if Melo, you know, it's close game. He's got the ball. He sees LeBron. He's like, I got this.
This is my moment.
I could do it.
Yeah. It's a crap. Why does LeBron fall in love with these streaky freaking shooters, man? Like, you go and get Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith.
The Lakers are relying an awful lot on those two, which means there are going to be some games where they look unbelievable.
Absolutely. Deion Waiters is gonna play the game of his life one time.
Right. There's going to be a Deion Waiters game where he's just like lights out from three and everyone's just like, oh, they're unbeatable, you know?
Yep. And then there's going to be six other games where he's not. I hate players like that, man.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Clippers got Joakim Noah for the sole reason that he doesn't like LeBron. And I hate Joakim Noah.
They got a lot of players. Like, I mean, like, you know, Marcus Morris, Pat Beverly.
Worst player in the league.
They're going to just try to irritate everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they kind of played their hand when the whole Dame thing like went up, you know. So I hope that LeBron is like, you know, hey, keep your composure because this is what they're going to do. Take him out the game, and then meanwhile, Kawhi sneaks through the back door and gives you a very quiet 36. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's very possible.
Yeah.
Because that's still that X factor. So I don't know, man, but I'm excited because these are really, really good playoffs. I was upset before, you know, Corona happened because we were on our way to having, I feel like this would have been like one of the greatest seasons in a long time, greatest playoffs in a long time. But it's still up in the air. Like, you know, though I don't think that anyone will beat the Clippers, if the Clippers do lose, I will not be surprised. But there's only two teams that can beat them. I feel like it's the Lakers or it's Toronto.
I don't know. Milwaukee's going to be dangerous. They're really good. They can really shoot.
Yeah, sure. I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
I don't disagree with that. So.
All right, man. But it's been enjoyable. We can definitely agree on that. It's been great.
1,000,000%.
Do you think they keep the play-in game for next year?
You know, they should. It was fun.
They should figure something out.
They've been playing. We've been doing a lot of like random stuff. You know, we complained about the All-Star game and how they was, you know, play to a certain point. We complained about that and it ended up being great. Like, hey, man, you got to holler at your boy, Adam Silver, man. He's been largely doing his thing. Like, outside the whole China thing, killing.
That feels like a lifetime ago.
Bruh. They swept that under several rugs. Rolled that rug up and threw that in the dumpster, like, immediately. But he's been doing his thing, man. NBA, far and away, been, like, the best league, you know, in the world. Like, they've been doing their thing. So, good for them. I'm here for it. I'm getting ready to go watch some games after we finish.
Beautiful. All right, man. I think that might be it for this week. You got anything to plug?
No, I don't. ArmandWakeUp.com, ModelMinistry.com. No, that's it. I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, as always, for listening. We appreciate it. Hit us up at CRS Podcast. Let us know what you think. And yeah, we'll be back soon.